Once again, we have been blessed by the God of heaven who doeth all things well, in that he has lengthened out the prickly threads of our lives and caused our golden moments to roll on just a little bit further. And for that, we are eternally grateful. The God that I serve is an awesome God. The God that took my awkwardness and my crookedness. And if you would attest and confess, you will attest that you have been awkward and you have been crooked. Somebody ought to say amen. He took my awkwardness and my crookedness, and with this awesomeness, he cleaned me up and set my feet on a solid rock. And I'm like David, I shall not be moved. I'm just like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Bring it forth this fruit in this season, I shall not be moved. It is good to be here this morning and to be a part of this annual renewal. And I am appreciative to this great church, to your minister, Brother Hill, and the leadership of this great church here in this area, and all the saints that meet here every Sunday. We are delighted to have with us, accompanying us, my lovely wife, Carolina Thomas, and my granddaughter, Sky Thomas, is with us. You all pray for us. Keep us in your prayers. We lost Sky's mother. This month would be a year. And we have been experiencing, we have been challenged, but nonetheless, God is good. And he's good all the time. I don't know about many, but God has brought me from a mighty long ways. He has picked me up. He has done tremendous things in my life. And in the time in which I came on the scene into this world, God has blessed me with parents. My father was a gospel preacher, and my mother was a servant and a faithful sister of the church, and now they're going on, but they have left a great legacy, and we are taking the torch, and we are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope, trust, and pray that we will continue this journey. We bring you greetings from the Victory Heights Church of Christ that meets in Randolph, Massachusetts. I live, of course, in Braintree, but in Randolph, Massachusetts, for we are a going church for a coming Lord. We have been blessed to reach, balanced to teach, and built to save the lost for a pathway to heaven. And so we just welcome all of those who are with us this morning. You may not be a member of the Church of Christ. We want to say to all of our visitors that you are honored and special guests. But there are no strangers that meet at the Church of Christ, just friends you need to get acquainted with. For we are large enough to accommodate you, small enough to love you and appreciate you. You're always welcome to the Church of Christ, where God has the key. I say again, God got the key. Who can unlock you just like he unlocked me. Who can give you some love, and that's sure enough sweet. And anytime you see a child of God, don't look at that child of God as somebody cheap, because the God that we serve cannot be beat. If you will kindly turn around and say to your neighbor, the God that I serve cannot be beat. The God that we serve cannot be beat. How many brought your Bibles? Raise them high. Let's see the Bibles that have been bought in this house this morning. You may not be used to the way we're presenting it this morning, but hopefully, as we go through the lesson, but repeat after me. This is my Bible. It is the word of God. For it's a lamp unto my feet a light unto my pathway. The grass withereth, the flower fitteth thereof, but the word of God shall stand forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Romans chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, Paul said, I'm now ready to preach the gospel, which is the dunamis, the dynamite, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to you that are at Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so I have been assigned the topic this morning, to know what we ought to do. To know what we ought to do. We are living in perilous times. We are living in dangerous time. We're living in good times. Somebody ought to say amen. If there were ever time where the people of God need to shine the light needs to be shined now. We need to let the world know that we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. When it comes down to the church of Christ, I know this, that there is something that is pounding us and keeping us away from what we need to do today. There is no black, white, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. And when we live like that, when we walk like that, when we talk like that, when we act like that, I believe that God gets the glory. He gets all of the glory. The glory belongs to God. And we're living in a time where men and women are just like a traffic jam. They don't know which way to go. In our schools are messed up. The young kids and shooting and killing and even in the mall or at the mall. So much is going on in the world today, but we need as Christians to understand that God is powerful. He is a powerful God, and he is the one that we need to look to, and we need to put our trust in him. And so when we go back to the text, when we look at verses number 32 of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, I want to commend all of the speakers and all of the gospel preachers that came before me, did a tremendous job. Amen. Y'all say amen. Did a tremendous job. And I'm an amen preacher. Amen. I'm an amen preacher. Ezra 8 and verse 6, the Bible said when Ezra praised God and he was preaching, stood on the pulpit, the people of God said amen. And Jesus even said amen. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, he said that he has all power in his hand as he talked to his disciples. And he told them to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you even unto the end of the world, of the age. Amen. And so we want to look at the text. And from the text, we want to stimulate your intellect. And we're going to look at our subject to know what we ought to do. The Bible says there in verse 32, and of the children of Issachar, which were as men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. Now, this is physical Israel. Physical Israel. The heads of them were 200, and all of their brethren were at their command. Issachar was the fifth son of David, and he was named the ninth son, because you remember the story that Laban had two daughters, and one was named Rachel and the other was named Leah. Leah had the tender eyes. Somebody ought to say amen. Leah had the tender eyes. She had the weak eyes, but Rachel was beautiful. And when she was looked upon, she was beautiful. And so he worked 7 years for Rachel, thinking that he was going to get Rachel. But he found out that when he lay with the one that he thought he was laying with, he was laying with Leah. And so he worked 7 more years, which consist of 14 years. And I tell you, he had to do some work. And he was doing some work because he wanted Rachel. And so here we find that there was two servants. They were handmade. You had Zephah and you had Bilhah. And you had those handmaids. Zephah was connected with Leah. Leah had Benjamin, and not Benjamin, but had Simeon and had Issachar. Had five. And then you had Dan and Naphtali, and you had Esau, and you had another one there along with them. And so we had Esau and we had Gad. I'll get it right now after a while. And so here we see Issachar, men with understanding, men who were brilliant, men that were scholars, who had the scholarship, who had an understanding of what Israel needed to do. And so here we find that in our lesson, ought to do, which is obligated, a moral obligation. That's what ought to do means, to have a moral obligation, a principle according to a moral obligation to perform certain actions only to please God. And so as we move into our lesson and as we move into our study this morning, we find to know what we ought to do. And I want to say in this lesson, to know what we ought to do is what's best for us. And I want to start off, we need to know the truth. We need to know God's truth. John chapter 8 and verse number 32, Jesus said unto his disciples, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not only we must know God's truth, but we must do God's will. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and the verse number 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so thirdly, we need to go God's way. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 16, look and seek the old path and ask for the good way and walk therein. They responded, we will not walk therein. We need God's way. In order to go God's way, we ought to do God's will. Not only that, but we need to walk in God's light. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all our sins. Colossians chapter 1 If you have your Bibles and turn there with me, Colossians chapter 1 and the verse number 10, the Bible said that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so we need to walk the walk. Not only we need to walk the walk, but we need to talk the talk. We must not talk Christianity, but we must live Christianity. Christianity is a growing process. Somebody ought to say amen. You see, when you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you become a babe in Christ. And from then on, you must grow in the nurture of God's word. And God's word is able to keep us from falling. I have 3 points. I shall not be long. I have 3 points. Number one, point number one, I want to talk about the sense of direction. The sense of direction. You know, in order for Issachar, the men who had understanding of the time at that particular time for physical Israel, they had to have a sense of direction. God, if he's going to work in leaders of that time, and not only of that time, but of this time, the leaders need to have a sense of direction. Because if we are not able to lead God's people in the direction that God's people ought to be led, then someone is going to be in trouble with God. Someone is going to have some gate trouble. And so the sense of direction, the Bible states in Proverbs 3:5-6, Solomon, that wise man, said in verse number 5, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. When you trust in God, when you put every ounce of your intellect, your heart, and trust and be led by God, then you would do what God would have you to do. I would do what God would have me to do. I tell people, that cars may rust, but Christians will never rust. If they trust God, amen, somebody, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy will or in all thy being, and he will direct your path. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. Jeremiah said long time ago, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walk to direct his steps. We need to have a sense of direction. As Christians, we need to know where we're going. We need to know that Jesus Christ is the way. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, I tell you, God has a house. And in his house, blessings are in the house. Blessings are in the storehouse. If you remember Malachi chapter 3, he said, I'll pour out your blessing, that there will be no room to receive it. And so in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. As Christians, we need to focus on the mansion. I want my mansion. I don't know about anybody else, but I want to be able to put on my robe and wear my crown. I want to be able to go to that celestial city, that New Jerusalem, 4 square. 3 gates in the south, 3 gates in the north, 3 gates in the east, and 3 gates in the west, to be able to drink from a fountain that will never run dry, to be able to eat a manna of fruit that is for the healing of the nation. And so if we trust God, If we trust him, then we will be led as we are directed by his word. My second point is not only a sense of direction, but we need to have a sense of determination. Amen, somebody. We need to be determined that I'm going to serve God no matter what, no matter who. Amen, somebody. People need to understand that when they see us, that we have the determination to serve God. Even our young folk need it, and they need it in school. They need it when they go to school. I remember in my time coming up in the 70s, I used to be picked on, bullied, used to come and take my money. Thank God my mama put me in karate school. And I was in karate school, and I was crying every day, taking my money. I'm talking about the times back then when I was growing up in the 70s, taking my money, and I got tired. I got off the bus and said to them, as I previously and before I was taking karate, they didn't know I was taking karate. I said, "You're not taking my money today. You're not taking it today. You know, I used to carry a little pocket Bible, and I got to the point that I would show my bullies the Bible and they would run away. But I used to understand that back then, you know, there were bullies then and there are bullies now. Amen. And so he came after me and tried to take my money, and he threw a powerful punch. But I managed to duck, and we ducked from him and kicked him around a few times. You know, Mama didn't play a fighting, but I kicked him around a few times. And after that, since he did not take my money again. And I had an interesting situation. Me and my nephew, the bullies again, they called river rats, and we would have to go through a path, and to go to school, they would take us and turn us upside down and shake our money out of our pockets. I had to call on Dad and my brothers, and they rescued us. And so we're living in times where people don't respect one another. But in the church, God has designed his word to help us to grow and to be nurtured and to do the things that he will have us to do. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 31, if God be for you, who can be against you? Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13, we're talking about a sense of determination. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehend, but knowing this, I'm forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to those things that are ahead. For I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And then thirdly, not only to have a sense of direction or a sense of determination, we must have a sense of destination. A sense of destination. Jeremiah 29 and verse number 11, the Bible said that God said, my thoughts of you are not evil. But he said that you will have a successful end, that you will be successful at the end, that you will have a journey that you go through, and that I will take care of you. Matthew chapter 11 and the verse number 28 through 30. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you to know, we ought to know what we ought to do as Christians. When it comes down to living a Christian life, you see, husbands need to know what they ought to do for their wives. Treat the wives like they would treat their own bodies. Somebody ought to say amen. Children need to know what they ought to do when it comes down to obeying your parents. And not only children need to know what they ought to do, but we need to teach folk who are sinners, and even ourselves. We need to teach ourselves and sinners that we need to learn what we ought to do in order to please God. If you are in this audience of this morning and you don't know what you ought to do, I stopped by here this morning to tell you that God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for the entire world. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter where you expect you are going. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You see, we're going through some terrible times right now. That's right. We're going through some times that we don't know, but we know that God knows. Romans chapter 8, we don't know what we should pray for. But the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and groaning and send the message to Jesus, to God, on our behalf. We understand that life is short. Death is sure. Hell is too hot. And eternity is too long for any of us to be messing around with our souls. We need to understand that even though we are in the church, we must live right. We must talk right. We must act right. Romans chapter 12, we must be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and perfect will of God. I stopped by here this morning to tell all of us that one day we're going to stand before the judgment bar of God. And it does not matter how we look. Somebody ought to say amen. It does not matter how good we smell. It doesn't matter how good we dress. It does not matter to God. But what matters to God is the life that he has put out for us to live, the kind of life that he will have us to live. And so if you're not a Christian, I tell the audience every Sunday, if you're not a Christian, you can be a Christian today. You can be baptized for the remission of your sin. Well, preacher, what must I do in order to be saved? Acts chapter 8, you remember the yoked eunuch? He went to Jerusalem, and there Philip met him, and he taught him the gospel of Jesus Christ, the place where he was reading Esaias. And he said, understand it what thou readest. You know, it's good to know that in the Lord's church, we understand what we read. And we ought to understand what we read. But I'm here today when I see actions that does not depict what is in the Bible, then it becomes a scary thing. You know, folk are sick on Sunday, but well on Monday. Let me say that again. Folk are sick on Sunday, but Monday morning, they're on that job. But when it comes down to the worship service, they will make all kinds of excuses and saying, I can't get there because I got a toe ache. I got a headache. I got this and I got that. I had to wash my clothes. We're living in some terrible times. We're living in some dangerous times. But in order for us to be saved, we must obey the plan of salvation. What is that plan? First of all, you must hear the gospel. Romans 10 and verse number 17. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not only we must believe. We must have faith. And we must hear the gospel. But Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then thirdly, we must repent of our sins. Luke chapter 13, 3 and 5, I tell you nay. Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now what Jesus was doing here, and what was he saying? That was some folk who was running to Jesus, telling Jesus about other people. But Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you get yourself together. Don't bring me no bad news on nobody else. You say, except you get yourself together, you gonna perish as well. And so Jesus says, you will perish. And then after that, you must confess the sweetest name on mortal tongues, the sweetest name that ever sung, and that is the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At his name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord of all. The Bible says in Matthew 10, 32, whosoever therefore confess me before men, him will also confess before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then be willing to go down in a liquid tomb of water, grave of baptism, and have your sins washed away. Acts 2 and verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in verse number 41, the Bible said, they that gladly receive his word were baptized, and the same day they were added about 3,000. So we believe that if a person is taught the truth, then when they are baptized under the truth, it is their baptism, it becomes valid, because it validates that they've been taught by the truth, the word of God. And so one is baptized into Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The church of Christ is true to his name. The fruit it bears is just the same. No human creed to lead astray, for Jesus said, I am the way. Other folks say this way cannot be, because there are members that are so few, just like in Noah's day, there were eight in the righteous way. But on Christ the solid rock, we stand. All other grounds ought to be sinking sand. And so today, if you're not a Christian, you can come to Jesus. If you have walked contrary toward the will of God, do you not know we fall sometimes? We're members of the church. We ought not to act like we are so sedated, so high polluted, but cold as a refrigerator. Some folk are. Amen. But do you not know we fall sometimes? But we can get up. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter if you 6'3, 6'4, 6'5. You still, in God's sight, you have fallen short in your life. And so we must give attention to Almighty God, because Jesus is coming back one day. Oh yes, he's coming back for his own. And not only when you are baptized and you've gone through here, believe, repent, confess, and you're baptized. The Bible says in Revelation 2 and verse number 10, the Bible says, fear none of those things, but ye shall be cast into prison, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive a crown of life. And that crown will never fade away. And so if you're in the audience this morning, you need prayer, we'll pray for you. If you're in the audience, you're not a Christian, you want to become a Christian, you can become a Christian. We're living in times where the folk that are in the world need to be evangelized. We're living in a time where we need to promulgate and proclaim that great message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that great panacea. That's right, that message that will save the soul. And so this morning, God loves you. God loves your soul. We have a soul that need to be saved. We have a soul that God want to save in the end. And so if you're here, you're subject to the invitation, we bid you come now as we together stand and sing the invitational song.